According to the Help America Vote Act, or HAVA, all punch card ballot systems are to be replaced with electronic voting machines by 2006. The Chicago Board of Elections and the Cook County Board of Elections solicited proposals for replacing voting machines in this area and narrowed the field to 4 companies. Recently, some members of the public were able to attend a demonstration of the 4 voting machines proposed. Ted Sawinski of the Oak Park Coalition for Truth and Justice heard about the event through the grapevine and went to do his own evaluation.
This is downtown at the... I work downtown, so it was convenient for me to go there at lunchtime. And what it was a demo of 4 vendors that the city and county jointly asked to do a demo of their hardware so interested people can take a look at it and evaluate it.
Did it look like it was open to the public?
It did, and it didn't appear to be invitation only, but it wasn't very publicized, and In fact, I didn't know about it until somebody called me about it. And I've been trying to follow these issues closely, too.
According to the Chicago Board of Elections, Tom Leach, he said that these were the 4 finalists, so there must have been semi-finalists as well.
Right. They handed out some literature. When you went there, you got several pieces of paper, two papers summarizing what it was all about, and then a third form for you to fill out for an evaluation. Okay, and so one of those papers said that there originally was a field of 10 candidates. They created a RFP, and they got 10 responses, and they whittled it down to 4. And those 4 vendors were Diebold, Sequoia, ES&S, and Hertz InterCivic. So I went there Tuesday the 15th, and I was there for almost 2 hours talking to the vendors and looking at the machines and trying them out, and they're all pretty much the same. 3 of them were touchscreen machines, and the 4th one, Hart InterCivic, wasn't touchscreen, but you had a dial that you turned to select the candidate, and then you pushed a button to select it. And which was kind of an advantage, because I remember reading reports of actual machines in elections where you go to select, say, Kerry, but the Bush thing lights up instead. So it was they claim it was out of alignment, and so that kind of system would get around the alignment problem. The other 3 machines were touchscreen machines, and some were easier to read than others, but they're all pretty much the same. Okay. All 4 of the machines had, and this is a requirement required by both the Cook County and the city, they had a paper printout of the ballot, and which is also required by Illinois law right now. So that's what we came to look at. 4 vendors, touchscreen machines, basically electronic touchscreen machines with paper printed ballot that the voter can verify. Usually this paper ballot was under a piece of plastic or glass, so they couldn't touch it or change it or do anything to it, but you can view it, and then it would roll up into a roll inside the machine, so you couldn't tamper with it.
I see. Did that make you feel better about all the machines?
Security-wise, it was hard to tell how secure they were, because it was just a black box. You pushed the buttons, it recorded your vote, and it printed the results on a paper ballot, and a slick salesman was telling you how secure it was, but you had no way of judging whether it was actually secure or not, because you don't know what's going on inside the machine. You don't know what the software is doing. The fact that it has a paper ballot printout makes you feel a little better, though, because without that, you would have no idea how your vote is actually being recorded. So that's why Illinois requires it now. And I was just online a little while ago. There's a website called electionline.org. And they have one page that lists all the legislation that's been passed and is pending in all states in the country. And almost every single state has a bill passed or legislation pending requiring paper ballots as a voter-verified paper ballot that would be used in a recount. Okay, so if there's any question about the election, they can go back and count the votes on the paper ballots.
Now, with these electronic voting machines, how would the votes be tabulated? How would they get from the machines to the election office where they are tabulated?
Right. Well, every vendor has a different system. Diebold and Hart Intercivic have their own system of transmitting the votes from the individual voting machines to a central tabulator, either in the precinct or at another location. Usually, in the precinct, the voting machines are either networked on a secure private network, or they're connected by a cable, or you're either there, you carry an ATM card that contains the votes from the machine where you voted into a tabulating machine in the precinct. And then once all the votes get into that tabulating machine, the votes get translated from that precinct to some central location. Diebold, I know, has been criticized in the past because their tabulating software ran on Windows. The votes were stored in MS Access, which is notoriously insecure, and there were stories about people hacking in and modifying votes just in a matter of seconds. Okay. So they said, I talked to the vendor, he said that they upgraded it to Sybase, which is a more of a real database. And he claimed that CompuWare tried to hack into their system and they couldn't do it, but I couldn't verify that. It could be a weak point because here you have a public election in a public place, so people are watching to see what's going on, and then the votes get transmitted to another location that's being administered not in a public way anyway. And you don't know what happens behind those closed doors. You just have to trust them, I guess.
Would this have to be done by a technician from the company, or is this something that the election officials could do themselves?
It's something the election officials we train to do with their system. Now, as I said, two of the systems had their proprietary tabulating systems, okay? And then two of the other vendors, Sequoia and ESNS, have adapters, so you can take the ATM card or whatever it is from the electronic voting machine and plug it into the same machine that's used to read the punch cards. Okay, so it'll be accumulated in the same machine and then transmitted to the existing tabulating system that Cook County and the City of Chicago uses right now. So that's a huge advantage for those vendors. And ESNS is the current vendor of all the machines used by Cook County and Chicago now, the punch card machines, as well as machine, like when you vote, as you know, when you're done punching out, voting on a punch card, you take that card and you insert it into this machine, which tabulates the vote. Okay, it counts the votes. That machine is also produced by ESNS. And so that machine transmits the vote at the end of election night to the central office where it's counted on the central tabulating machines, or I'm not sure how that works. But so that part would stay the same, at least, if they went with these two vendors, Sequoia or ESNS. And I think that's a pretty big advantage. Plus, it's probably, voters can probably be more comfortable with that because it's using a system that's already been in use for many years. And elections in Illinois have never been very different from the exit polls. Okay, just like I know for 2004, the difference between the exit poll in Illinois and the vote counts were statistically negligible. They're almost the same, as opposed to states like Ohio and Florida, where there was a huge difference in the exit polls. At the beginning of the night, I remember watching the news on election night, and Kerry was leading by 52% in Ohio. And then what happened? What happened? So that's one of the reasons why people are up in arms about these electronic voting machines without paper ballots, because there's no way you can verify that the vote's correct and that it hasn't been tampered with. so they're asking for paper ballots because then we have some way of verifying that it's recorded the way they intended and that they can do a recount later.
What is your preference? Among the four, which did you see as the one you could be most comfortable voting on?
You know, it was a long time ago, and it's hard to keep all the details straight in my mind, but Sequoia and ESNS are pretty much the same. I don't really have a preference. I couldn't say. But
were you able to try them out?
Oh, yeah, I tried all of them out. And they had prepared some ballots for the demo. Some were actual elections in the past, and some were made-up elections. And so you were able to go through the ballots, pushing buttons to select candidates. And any time you can back up and change your decision before you were done. And when you were all done and you're presented with your full ballot that you can review, you can go back and make changes, okay? And then you can ask for the paper ballot to print. And while that's printing, you can still back up and make changes and reprint the ballot. So it was very flexible and it was really easy to use, I thought. But I'm used to working with computers. Not all the systems are quite as easy to use as others, and I can't remember all the details right now. But the most important thing is that they all have a paper ballot. And if you looked at the paper ballot while it was printing, you would notice like a two-dimensional barcode printed for each ballot. So that, and some of the vendors, but not all of them, provided readers. So you can scan the ballots. It would read the 2D barcode and recount the ballots that way. So it could be done fairly quickly that way.
When I was listening to some of the things that happened in Ohio, one person testified that they started at the top and they did the presidential choice, and they had chosen Kerry at the time, and they went down and they got to the very bottom of the ballot, and it said, because you have to scroll down so you can't see the very top and the bottom at the same time, and then they said, you could choose, is this your choice, and you could vote now. Well, they decided, I'm going to go up to the top just to see if I've covered everything. They went all the way up to the top, and where they had voted for Kerry was now flashing by the time they got to the bottom. Somehow, by voting all the way to the bottom, there was a default or something so that, that the Kerry was flashing. And so he suspects that when many people press the button, they were not voting in the presidential election at all.
Oh, now, flashing meant it was like an undervote.
Right. Flashing meant that you had not voted. As soon as you voted, it would stay the same color.
Right.
And initially, when he pressed the button, it did stay the same color. But by the time he got to the bottom of the ballot and then checked up at the top, the Kerry was flashing again. I mean, aren't there all kinds of ways that electronic voting machines could be changed?
I've been a programmer for over 20 years. I can tell you there's all kinds of ways. If you really wanted to hack an election and you were actually writing the code for these machines, it'd be trivial to rig it to give a few votes to one candidate or the other, and it was such a way that it'd be very hard to detect. For example, all these machines have to be certified, so they have to be tested by some third party, okay? But you can rig it so that this secret code won't be invoked unless certain conditions are met, and they would be met during the certification, for example. I mean, you may have to do a certain thing to activate it, and something that maybe the election judge would have to do on the machine to activate the special code on election day. So there's all kinds of ways to get around certification and to incorporate some secret code in the software to swing a few votes toward your candidate. That's what's so scary about, because you can't detect it. There's no paper ballot. So that's why people are so upset about these voting machines that don't have paper ballots, because you can't tell if the votes have been recorded properly, and there's no way to check, and there's no record.
But isn't there a way to have the paper ballot say something different than what you put in the machine and then have the votes tabulated differently?
Right. And that's certainly true, and So it doesn't make any, there's no advantage to having paper ballots unless they're actually counted. And in the best bills in pending in Congress right now also have a mandate for that at least 2% of the precincts have recounts automatically, a random sampling of precincts. They go in and count all the paper ballots and make sure they match the totals, to make sure the machines are working properly. I should mention also, like going back to Ohio and Florida and states that have electronic machines, and comparing that those votes with the exit polls, okay? Wherever the discrepancy between the exit polls and the vote totals, it's always in a state where they had electronic machines, and the mistakes were always in Bush's favor. There are like almost no cases where if there was a discrepancy, it was in Kerry's favor. And so that's very suspicious, and that's why people are upset about this also. But again, paper ballots alone, or voter verified paper ballot, isn't enough. And in my opinion, the best thing to make these elections more secure is to make sure that the election workers are honest, that they're nonpartisan, and that they're accountable, and that the system is transparent and public. And so a lot of people are also asking for open source software on these machines. So programmers like myself and programmers who develop systems like Unix can get together, examine the software, and find out how it works and make sure there's no bugs in it and that it can't be taken advantage of in any way. So there are some bills that provide for that as well. And
are any of the four demos, do any of them have open source software?
No, I asked them specifically that question, and none of the vendors provide public access to their source code, or it's not open source, but it's proprietary.
Did the machine seem to be serving their purpose, which is to help people who are disabled be able to vote without assistance?
I did try one of these out. The way it works is it has an auditory feedback. You put on earphones, and as you make selections, it tells you what you selected. And I don't know how they would see what they're selecting, though. But I know there's one that works with a dial. The HeartCivic machine works with a dial. And as you turn the dial, you can hear in the earphones who the candidates are. But then you still have to press a button to select that candidate. Also, I remember the Diebold machine also had an auditory system, but it also worked in like three different languages. And that was also another requirement, I think, of Cook County in Chicago. It had to work with English, Spanish, and Chinese, I think. And so it seemed to work. I mean, I didn't try Spanish and Chinese, but the English worked okay. Yeah, so they seemed like nice machines, but like I say, you can't really trust them.
Ted Sawinski of the Oak Park Coalition for Truth and Justice, who attended a vendor's demonstration on March 15th of the four semifinalists in the contest to win a contract to bring e-voting machines to Chicago and Cook County. Tom Leach of the Chicago Board of Elections said that although they are working closely with the Cook County Board of Elections, both boards will approve their selections separately. Although neither office could give me a timeline for the decision, Tom Leach said that the goal is to purchase at least one e-voting machine per precinct to be used in spring 2006. The next meeting of the Cook County Board of Elections is Wednesday, April 6th at 10 a.m. at 118 North Clark Street on the fifth floor. The agenda for the meeting will be available by April 1st. You can call 312-603-5656. The next meeting of the Chicago Board of Elections is April 26th. At 10 a.m. at 69 West Washington on the 8th floor. Call 312-269-7900. Two public fora on voting issues are planned for next month as well. On April 7th, a A forum on voting rights and what happened in Ohio features Dr. Ron Byman, senior researcher at UIC's Institute of Government and Public Affairs and visiting assistant professor at the University of Chicago. He's author of The United States of Ukraine, with a question mark, and co-author of Who Won the Popular Vote. Also on the panel are Neil Reznikoff, local activist for People's Democracy, and Dr. Laura Chamberlain, well-known local activist with the Ballot Integrity Project and Election Protection Coalition. Then on April 30th, a public forum on elections called Your Ballot, Your Future will be held at the Dole branch of the Oak Park Public Library from 10 to 1. The video Invisible Ballots will be shown, and speakers include Cook County Clerk David Orr and Carol Kay, Chicago software developer, Dan Johnson Weinberger, attorney with the Midwest Democracy Center, and again, Professor Ron Byman. From the trenches, I'm Rita Sand.